Hello and welcome to The Cute Life, episode 30. I'm Finley and...
I'm Ollie. You're doing the robotic voice again.
I can't help it. Well, maybe you should introduce the podcast if I do it so rubbishly.
It's your podcast.
Yeah, true.
It's called The Cute Life. That's not what I would call my podcast.
What would you call it then?
The Cool Life.
The Cool Life. You loser.
My Great Life.
Do you want to tell everyone at home what happened to you today? Mr. Cool Guy.
I'm so cool that when I went for a burger today, as I was leaving the restaurant, well, as I was paying my bill, I like tapped the card machine, said thanks, and he put his hand on my shoulder.
Who put his hand on your shoulder?
The waiter.
Yeah.
The waiter put his hand on my shoulder, squeezed it, and said, "Lovely to meet you."
And Ollie came over and told me this.
Like, I was like, that's an unusual thing.
It was a bit weird. And I was like, babe, you got hit on.
But we hadn't had any...
He just liked what he saw. He wanted a piece of place ass.
It's weird that he said nice to meet you when we hadn't talked at all. I did ask him for hot sauce at one point, which now, thinking back, is quite a come on.
Yeah, he was like, oh, he's hot for me.
Give me your hot sauce,
yeah,
mate.
Maybe that's like a code or something in their restaurant.
Well, it was.
You asked for
it
hot
was.
Sauce, and he's like, he gave... yeah, I'll get you some hot sauce.
I mean, he did bring me hot sauce.
Yeah, I bet he did. Did he make eye contact?
No.
Lingering.
You know I don't make eye contact with staff.
It's just so funny. You always get hit on by gay men.
We get hit on by women as well. I just don't tell you.
Yeah, you better not.
Yeah, better not. Philip, go all the way to London and hunt them down.
Go and beat them up. No, you do get hit on by guys quite a lot. I think you must give off some sort of macho gay aura.
Yeah. Probably that Wham t-shirt I wear.
Like, do you remember when we went into... Have we already said this story on the podcast?
No,
like,
probably.
When I met my friends in... No, not... What's it? No, it wasn't GA. What was that bar?
It was just a bar in
the Yard. Which is like a gay bar. And Ollie...
Didn't know
it was a gay bar. And then went to get drinks. And a guy, or maybe two guys, offered to buy your drinks. And Ollie was like, oh... So polite to him.
Like,
so nice.
Thanks a lot, lads. But actually, I've already paid for these, so it's fine. And I was like walking up the stairs to go and meet Finn and her friend, and I was like, what a friendly bar. And then as I thought that, I looked over to the side, and there was like this sort of like long sofa, and there were two men lying on it getting off with each other, and I was like, oh, that's why they're friendly.
I love it. It's like so cute and innocent, like, no, thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, gents.
These are all paid for.
I'll get you on the next round.
So funny. Anyway.
But if you are...
Ollie is a babe magnet.
It must be annoying, though, if you're a homosexual man and you go to a bar to pick up men.
Oh, and
And
yeah,
there's just, like, dumb, naive...
Straight men.
Straight 20-year-olds being like, oh, thanks for the drinks, lads. And just like wandering around. I'm such a dick.
Yeah, no, that's true. It must be quite infuriating.
I don't know. Because I am not a homosexual. And I don't even go to bars for any genders or sexual orientations. Just go to the pub.
Yeah, we don't really go to bars.
I mean, I think there's only one bar in Hastings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe two.
Maybe two.
But anyway.
Anyway, so
that's off track.
Anyway, I just thought it was a funny story.
Thanks for starting the podcast with my tale of shame.
It's not shame, you should be proud.
Well,
you're hot stuff.
Yeah.
I wanted to start off the podcast by saying thank you to a listener, Georgina, who shared the podcast on... She was listening while she was making her artwork.
That's what it's all about.
And she shared it on Instagram. And I think that's probably the second or maybe even third time she's done that. So I just wanted to say another thank you because I really appreciate it and it means a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, yeah.
So that's what you wanted to start the podcast with, but you didn't.
Yeah, I started it with
like
your...
mocking your dearest husband.
I'm not mocking, I'm proud.
Oh.
That's my piece of ass.
Gather around, men.
So, this week, how have you been?
It is...
Oh, wait, we're not allowed to ask that, are we?
No, what you're not allowed to do is start by going,
how are you?
And then you go, I'm okay. It's been a real busy week.
Mm.
I don't know why it's been so busy. We've had, like, 3 weekends in a row of constantly seeing people, so I think it sort of makes you... Not that it, like, makes your weeks blend into your weekends, but you don't have any, like, days off to relax.
It's a lot of... It's been a lot of... It's almost like I've been running an Airbnb, washing sheets and towels for people to arrive.
Like the cheapest Airbnb in Hastings.
Cleaning and getting fresh flowers, because I'm that kind of nerd.
Finn folds up towels and puts them on the end of people's bed, pretending she's doing a little hotel service.
Because I'm cute. Because I live the cute life, that's why. Yeah, so it's been quite full on. So we're looking forward to a weekend of doing nothing. But last weekend was bonfire night in Hastings, and it was fucking great, and I love it. The fireworks were the best I think I've ever seen in my whole life.
They were very
good.
Not even
just Hastings-based ones.
Definitely the best Hastings has provided.
Yeah, it was really good, very good, although I've now got a mouth ulcer from overindulgence and just being...
Really? Is that what it's from?
Well, I don't know. I think it's... I usually get
all that port.
When I'm really run down and I'm ill, and then I was quite hungover, and then I had my whole...
Panic attack, anxiety
attack slash sleep paralysis situation on Sunday, which wasn't very pleasant. Yeah.
Mm. If only there was some way to avoid getting a hangover. But
well...
We're no scientists, so we'll never find out what it is.
It's not just from...
No, no,
I do get it other than being hungover. It's just like when I'm tired...
The hangover don't help.
Yeah, tired, anxious and hungover, it's like a recipe for disaster and I am just going to get sleep paralysis and it's the worst thing ever. A lot of people, because I talked about it on my Insta stories this week about getting sleep paralysis, and lots of people were saying that their way of like... what's the word, sort of clicking out of it, was to do something really small, which is obvious, like, an obvious thing to do, and I never do it.
I think because, don't understand what you mean.
Well, so, like, when I have sleep paralysis, so if you didn't listen to my story, so sleep paralysis is basically where you're in REM sleep, so you're still dreaming, but then you wake up early, so your body paralyzes itself, so you don't act out your dreams, but then you've like awoken when you're in that state, so you're still dreaming but then you're also awake but can't move, and it always for me I always get it where I just have this horrible like feeling like I'm going to stop breathing because I realise I can't move anything, so I'm just like, oh my god, I'm just going to stop breathing now. So I start panicking and I always like try and roll over or do something like massive, like trying to raise my arm or something. Yeah. Whereas like a lot of people who gave advice were all like, I just try and move my little finger or wiggle my toes or cough. And so I thought that was really good advice. So if you get sleep paralysis, maybe do that. Another person suggested that I try CBD oil, which...
That's meant to be good for a lot of stuff, though, CBD oil. Yeah. Because it's like anti-anxiety, other stuff. Not a doctor.
But I don't see how it possibly can be, because, like, spoiler... I've smoked weed before. I hope there's no...
Well, you've lost one viewer here.
Yeah, or I hope no policemen are listening. But I can't smoke it. I hate it because it just makes me feel so fucking paranoid. Like, I'm just a maniac when I smoke weed. It's horrible. I'm so paranoid and it makes me so anxious. So I can't imagine how CBD oil is going to...
Yes, but I don't think weed and CBD oil are the same thing.
Are they not? But I thought that's the component in weed, isn't it?
It's part of the thing in weed, but it doesn't have the psychotic bit of weed in it, which is the bit that I think makes you feel anxious.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's not really my area of expertise.
Anyway,
I'm more of a man with a huge knowledge about pigeons, but we'll come back to that later.
I haven't had the greatest week. What with that, and then I've had. Been to the dentist today, although I suppose that's a good thing because now I don't have a huge hole in my tooth. It was very...
No, you don't have to go to the dentist again for a while.
Well, cross fingers and touch wood, touch everything, because I don't want to have to go back again this year. Oh my god, so many things wrong with my teeth.
But your Inktober is still going strong.
Yes, I've kind of run out of ideas now, but I'm really pleased with, like, when I look back at the drawings I've done, so I feel proud of myself.
Well, it's nearly the end of the month.
Yeah.
It's past my payday.
Yeah, I've missed a few days. Like, I haven't done weekends. And then last week, on Friday, my friend came down for lunch, so I didn't have anything for Friday. But I just, yeah.
You've still done, what, like 20?
I haven't actually counted, but I think probably I've done quite that. A lot.
I mean, it's not as good as that guy who did 2,500 drawings one every
day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm proud of myself.
Yeah.
It's
still good going. I didn't do any.
Yeah. But I'm kind of, I don't know what to do with, like, I'm going to sell the originals, but I'm not sure, like, I was thinking I'd like to make, like, an A3 print with some of my favourites on. But then I was thinking today, maybe little postcard sets might be nice.
That's a cute idea.
Yeah. But I don't know.
I don't know, I think...
It's always hard, like, printing stuff, because I think something's a good idea, and then you spend all this time and money printing it, packaging, getting all the packaging ready, and then you sell, like, three of them, and then they just clutter up your house. I just, like, because people always are just like, oh, you should do prints, you should do greeting cards, and every time I've done them, it makes me no money. It's a waste of time.
I did see a good thing on Instagram once where it was, like, a pie chart, and it was, like, a tiny slice.
Oh, the print
slice,
one,
and
yeah.
Like, people who say that they'll buy a print, and it was a huge wheel of the pie chart, and then it was like, people actually buy the print. It was a
tiny little sliver. It's so annoying.
Well, I think the thing is...
And whenever I have, like, I'm quite open, like, if I'm struggling for money or, like, yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, different avenues to, like, sell things and stuff. And it's so frustrating because every time I do, everyone's just like, have you tried selling greetings cards? And I'm like, oh,
yes, I have.
Fucking have. And it makes no money. anyway, sorry.
Well, I think it's
my little rant.
Well, you always see, like, postcards for sale, and, like, I understand why people say it. Mm. I mean, you've tried it. There's a reason you tried it.
I think they're just, like, they're a really good add-on. So, like, for, like, when you are at markets, say, and then, you know, it's, like, a little low price point thing that people can pick up, like, badges or postcards and stuff. So it's a good, like, way to top up your earnings. But I think... Like, if you're running an online business, it just makes no sense because of all the packaging you have to sell, and, like, the postage and stuff. Like, that people aren't going to want to spend £3 postage on, like, a pound.
Well, if they're buying £3 for a pack of prints,
yeah,
they don't
they're just not going to do it. So it's just kind of like, yeah, it's just not worth.
I mean, unless you make the postcard £6 and offer free postage and
but
packaging.
But then people are going to think they're overpriced. It's just like, it just doesn't work for an online business. Anyway, sorry, this is really boring for everyone, I'm sure. So, shall I tell? I've got two kind of cute things. One's not really cute. Some people might find it cute. I find it psychotic. I just thought I'd tell you because I just found it so, like, bizarre.
Mm.
And then I've got an actual really cute thing.
Okay, which one do you want to say first?
Or do you want to do whatever you've got
you
to the table?
You do your psychotic cute thing first, please.
Aye, aye, Cap'n.
Wow.
Cappy. Well,
not expecting that.
Okay. Ooh, this is bright. Sorry, I'll turn my computer on. It's blindingly...
The lights are blinding your eyes.
Okay.
God
knows how I found this. It's on some sort of Korean website.
I mean, the branding of it looks like the size of a pot noodle.
It's called Sora News 24.
Yeah.
So, boyfriend's cute way of telling his girlfriend how much he loves her turns off Japanese Twitter.
Okay, so he went too far with his love.
Right, ready for this? If someone did this to me, I'd beat them to death, said one Twitter user.
Extreme.
It's going to give... That gives you a little taster of what's in store.
Okay. Do you agree with that sentiment?
I wouldn't beat them to death.
Nice.
I think that might be a little bit extreme.
Congratulations, you passed the test.
I may...
Block them.
...suggest that they get some counselling.
Okay.
There are many cute ways to tell your significant other how much you love them, buying them gifts, coming home with their favourite fast food, or even just sending them texts during the day, are just some ways to show how you feel without even saying, I love you. But if your SO is a regular smartphone user, we can't recommend you do what one Twitter user's boyfriend did and rearrange all of their home screen apps in order to leave them a unique love letter.
Mmm, bit creepy.
So... this girlfriend, her boyfriend, rearranged her home screen and then titled each one with a word. Right. So it read a love letter to
her. I mean, that's really annoying.
She then screenshotted it and put it on Twitter.
Did she put it on, like, look how cute it is? Yeah. Or look how annoying this is?
No, look how cute. Like, my boyfriend is so cute.
Like Cartman from South Park.
Oh my god, so cute. So, original user, Minor, seems to have posted a screenshot of her home screen in which each of her apps has been reorganized and grouped into folders, which he named with individual words or phrases, when put together, made the following message.
Okay, I'm ready.
Sorry I'm always being such a pain. We fight every day, but I could never leave you.
Okay, that's and a good start always, to a relationship.
And you're always on my mind.
Ew.
Thanks. I think that's a good, strong start to a love letter, isn't it?
No, it's terrible.
I know, it's awful.
Sorry I'm being such a pain.
Sorry I'm being
they
such a
pain. They know they're being so annoying.
We fight every day, but I could never leave you. And you're always on my mind.
What he's saying there is, you can never leave me because I'm a serial killer.
Wait for it. Thanks for always writing about me online and Twitter.
Yeah.
It makes me happy to see it. And although I wanted to see the end of the message to say it, I really love you. Caution, let's keep our selfishness in moderation. From Mishihiro.
She must have had a shitload of apps on her phone for him to be able to write that essay.
What is the end bit? Caution, let's keep our selfishness in moderation.
Well, they obviously had a big argument.
He says
they argue
so
every day.
Sinister. It's fucked.
It's a very weird message, I'll give you that.
Okay, and this is what she said when she tweeted it. So perhaps they're speculating. Perhaps it's an apology for a fight they had earlier or just a spur-of-the-moment expression of love. That's why it's not surprising that Mina's response is, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, blushing emojis.
Nice.
You did this while I was in the bath. Blushing emojis. I'm so happy. Many hearts. No one has a boyfriend better than mine, laugh emoji. I'll try to only be moderately selfish, laugh emoji. Apology bow emoji. Thank you, blushing emoji. Arrow through heart emoji.
Emojis are so much worse when you have to read them out like that, aren't they?
Wow. So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'd had a huge argument.
Do you want me to? I just think it's really creepy that that he went into her phone and did that.
Also, my phone once went wrong and it deleted all the apps off my home screen and it was really annoying. What he's done there is just really annoying because now she's got to reorder all of her apps and retitle them.
That's true. I reordered my apps today and it was like a fucking minefield. I didn't know where anything was.
Exactly, Finn. But I think they'd had a huge argument. I think he was checking her phone to see if she was cheating on him.
Yeah.
And then was like, he did something. Maybe deleted an app by mistake. So I was like, shit, I've got to cover this up. I know. I'll pretend I was doing something wholesome. But it's a bit selfish. Let's keep our selfishness at bay.
I'll just write you a sinister love message.
I'll write you a sinister love message.
I think it's fucking... love letter of a fucking serial killer in the making, if you ask me.
That's true.
I think Mina should run a fucking mile.
But, you know, there's a lot of people having difficulty in loving, and I'm going to tell you about one of them now.
Wait. That wasn't my cute thing. That was my sinister cute thing.
Yeah, we're taking it in turns. It's not all about you.
Well, no, my next cute thing is, like, quite short.
All right.
But it's cute. Very cute. You're going to be excited.
I guess my flawless segue...
Okay, sorry.
No, whatever.
Oh, babe.
You go.
I didn't mean to ruin your segue.
Why don't we keep our selfishness at bay?
Okay.
You go first.
No, but after you.
For God's sake, this is the most annoying podcast ever. Just read the fucking thing out.
Have you heard of Hulso the Balancing Hound?
Hulso the Balancing Hound?
Hulso the Balancing Hound.
No. Have you?
No. Until I found him on Instagram, and it's a dachshund that balances things on his head.
Wow. Looking at an Instagram. I'm seeing a dog with a biscuit on his head, a dog with a pizza on his head.
Cactus!
Pillow, cork, lemon, donut.
Pint of water. Three donuts.
Globe.
Corn of cob.
Corn of cob.
That didn't make any sense.
Avocado.
Jon Snow.
A small toy of Jon Snow, not the full actor.
Half an avocado. Wait, where's the best one? I'm finding it.
The good things about this is, firstly, Harslow?
Harslow.
Harslow is always wearing a bow tie, which is hilarious. For
always wearing a bow tie. And I like that he looks, in all of the photos, he's like looking up at the thing that he's balancing.
So he's got like the proper like gazing up eyes.
Oh my God, where's the best thing? We've missed it. There it is! He's balancing.
What the fuck is that?
It's an aubergine.
Jesus Christ.
It's an aubergine on its end.
Yeah, it's not like horizontal.
Oh my God, it's amazing. Anyway,
it's portrait, not landscape.
He was on this morning with Ruth and Eamon, and Jesus. He was wearing a little bow tie that had Eamon and Ruth's face on it.
Wow.
And then he balanced a Toblerone on his head on TV.
I can see a picture of him balancing a Toblerone there.
Can you?
Yeah. At the top.
Oh yeah, let's see.
Wow.
So they basically...
How did he learn this skill?
Well, they were trying to teach him to sit.
Yeah.
And he didn't do any tricks up until he was like 2, because he's a typical dachshund and doesn't like...
They don't like being told what to
do. No, Ollie's mum has a dachshund and they took him to puppy training and didn't they give up?
Yeah, the woman gave up because they were like, he's untrainable.
Well, and they couldn't tell whether he was sitting down or not.
Well, I think that was one of the problems. It's when they said sit. You couldn't really tell if he was sitting or just hovering.
So they gave up.
Yeah.
So
he's all right now, though.
Yeah, they said, I think he was trying to, like, train him. And then, as, like, a joke or whatever, he went to balance the toy on his... a dog toy on his head and he just sat there with it on his head.
What, just like froze in place?
Yeah, froze in place, and he like called down his girlfriend and she came running down.
And she was like, I'm gonna get on this morning with this shit.
No, and she was like, took a photo and then uploaded it to Instagram, and it's kind of just started from there.
The rest is history.
Yeah, they just balanced things on his head.
How many followers does this dog have?
A lot. 120,000.
Jesus Christ.
I need to do a painting of him. I'm obsessed. But... on this morning, apparently the owners, Harslow helped them get engaged.
Did he balance an engagement ring on his head?
Engagement ring on his head.
I saw that coming.
I know, cute, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was perfect for the key life.
I mean, it's a dog with a skill. And a dog with a job, probably, because I bet he's got an agent. He won the 2019 Webby Awards. I don't know what that
means. He's on the radio in this one.
As seen on ITV, Sky, BBC and Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's seen on Facebook. Has he got a book out?
He's got a calendar.
Wow. Toby, you haven't done anything.
A sexy hound calendar.
Toby hasn't even got on MySpace yet. She's a slow mover.
The time she's on Bebo.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, did you enjoy that?
Yes, I did.
I really enjoyed it. I'll show you this morning interview later.
Please.
It's very good.
Okay. No, it's very good. That dog's talented.
Finn's giving me a look. You don't love him.
I like him. I just don't need. I don't know if I necessarily need to see an interview with him.
Do you want to see him doing the balancing trick live? It's very good.
Okay. Would you like to hear a...
Sorry, I'm getting a top up.
Cute story of bravery in the face of adversity. Or...
Great English skills there.
Thank you. Would you like to hear a tale of another healthy relationship, much like the last one?
Healthy relationship. Can I just say, I read a article today on the Insecure Girls Club, which...
What's that?
It's like basically like this Instagram page run by this blogger, and people write in with certain insecurities they have, and it's like an article.
Mm.
And like they have like guest writers. But one of the articles today I read was like tips on how to have a healthy long-term relationship.
Yeah.
And then I was
getting
like,
good tips.
And whenever I see that, it's like clickbait for me. I'm just like, yeah. Oh, well, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong?
But what
they've been together. There? They've been together 4 years. I was like, fucking, that's nothing. I'm not taking advice off you.
Also, when Finn says, see what I'm doing right, see what I'm doing wrong, what she means is congratulate herself on doing everything right.
Do you know what I did today? And you're going to think I'm nuts.
Yeah.
you know how I'm really into this Myers-Briggs personality test thing?
Yeah.
So it's this thing where you can do a questionnaire online and it tells you what sort of personality you have, and there's 16 personalities.
Finn's is the personality that likes doing quizzes about herself.
I'm not even joking, like, one of the things in my trait was, like, you're one of the most...
easily impressed by quizzes.
They were like, you're the most likely to buy the book about this quiz.
Yeah, I mean, you haven't physically bought the book, but you've done everything else.
I've done everything else. I researched your personality type this morning.
Mine?
Yeah, because I was like, I want to be a better partner so I can, like, understand it better.
Did you find out anything?
I watched YouTube videos about your personality type.
Yeah.
Ollie's the entertainer, if anyone's interested. Go on.
Okay, let me read you a tale of woe from Reddit.
Okay. Oh god, I'm getting really hot.
Finn's complaining about getting really hot, and she's got a hot water bottle secured underneath her dungarees, pressed against herself.
That's my look. Honestly, oh, yeah, if you want a bit of life advice here, my best life advice is get a pair of dungarees, a hot water bottle, and then you just slot it, and it, like, perfectly keeps it on your tummy, and it just keeps you warm all day, and it's the best. But I mean, not great when you're wearing two jumpers and
you're wearing two jumpers,
you're sat by the fire, it's a little roasting.
That's here. A little much,
but that's my top tip for life.
That's a good tip. You could do a weekly top tip, Finn, though.
I can't keep on top of that. It would just be have a pair of dungarees.
But I keep buying dungarees.
Dungarees and hot water bottles every week. Okay, I'm ready.
So what's good about this request for relationship advice is I think it hits all of the criteria of, like, when you read it, you're like, this is going to go badly.
Okay.
So, to start, this is written by a 31-year-old female.
Okay.
She's writing this about her 32-year-old husband.
Okay.
So, the first sentence. To begin, my husband and I have been together for 15 years and we have a 6-year-old son. Being as we got together so young, our relationship has been a little rocky at times. Okay. I mean, you already know that's a disaster.
Okay.
But I wouldn't change a second of it, despite her just saying it's been rocky.
Wait, so if they are 31 and 32, then they would have been
15 and 16.
Okay, so that is quite young.
I mean, it's a crime.
Oh, it is, yeah.
I mean, maybe they're from, like, Alabama or something.
Is it legal there?
I think... Don't they have a younger age of marriage?
I think it's older, isn't it?
Oh, maybe. I'm thinking about somewhere. There's somewhere on this earth where it's younger than 16.
Yeah, okay. Well, that place. Facts. Maybe they live there.
That was good, though, because I wasn't sure about one state in America, so I went everywhere on earth.
Nice one. Nice save.
North Pole, South Pole. I just think it's like when they start, like, being like, it's been a little bit rocky, but it's all going really well, but... So.
Dot, dot, dot.
So. My husband is an incredibly caring and kind person. He loves our son and I deeply, and he would do anything for us. I happily left my academic position when our son was born, while my husband maintains a stable job in IT.
Okay.
The reason I'm writing this post is about a month ago, he began behaving a little strangely.
They always go this
way. Exactly, that's what I mean. It hits all the criteria. So, first paragraph. You really love each other.
Wonderful relationship.
He loves the kids. Everything's great. Yeah,
love him. Love everything about him. But...
Except 1 month ago, he started blah, blah.
Oh, is he in love with a magician again?
He began behaving a little strangely, and I'm starting to worry about him. When he isn't working or sleeping, he started spending all of his time constructing rafts of various shapes and sizes. Perhaps I should clarify that by rafts, I do mean what you would expect. Flat wooden structures intended to float on water.
Okay. Is he entering a raft race?
This might seem like a harmless and honestly quite sweet pastime. It certainly was at first.
I mean, I think it's quite cute.
But it has become an obsession for my husband. And it's not only affecting our relationship, but his relationship with his son. We used to always cherish our time together when he wasn't at work. We're lucky enough to have the money to be able to go on frequent days out, taking our son to nature parks and museums and so on. Lately, however, my husband has only wanted to take us to the local lake, where he would get our son to test out various rafts. where we used to relax together on Sunday mornings, he now spends them in the woods gathering logs to construct rafts. By some miracle, after 15 years, we had still managed to maintain a healthy and regular sex life. But now I can tell that even at night, his mind is out floating on the lake. And he spends all night researching raft building techniques or rigorously documenting his builds on his blog.
Oh my god, what happened to him?
To clarify.
What happened to him?
I have no real objection to my husband building rafts. It's honestly nice to see him passionate about something, especially something that involves using his hands and spending time outdoors. I think he seems unfulfilled by his office job, and this certainly makes a nice break from that. My worry is how much time this is taking up of his life. Our son told me he misses his father.
Mummy, I miss Daddy. He's always out on the raft.
He's on the raft. And I miss him too. I'm also worried because I don't think this new hobby is coming from a healthy place. This is a good line. My husband has a crippling fear of water.
Oh my god!
Stemming, I think, from a fishing boat accident he was involved in as a child that injured his own father. Just over a month ago, our son, much to my husband's dismay, started taking swimming lessons.
Oh, it all makes sense now.
Does it?
Yeah. He's worried the son's going to drown.
How's a fucking raft going to help?
Because he'll go out and save him.
Am I being too far-fetched in thinking this might have some relation to my husband's obsession with building rafts?
Oh, I think so.
How can I help my husband balance his new hobby with spending time with our family? If I'm right about the connection with his fear of water, should I encourage him to see a therapist or let him build his rafts?
No, therapist. I think
the best thing for her is to stay out of it. Just let his whole life come absorbed by rafts. And never talk to his wife or son ever again.
What a weird obsession. Just maybe buy your
Learn to swim.
I mean, I assume he can't swim and that's why he's building the rafts. Because he's like worried his son's going to get into trouble. He's not going to be able to help him.
I just really had this vision of like her like in bed like trying to get his attention and he's like reading a book about how to build rafts.
Just like trying to get him in the mood.
And she's like, come on, honey.
Get off me.
And he's like, did you know that a raft with a mainsail will float at 15 kilometres an hour?
If you do this type of knot... Oh my god, that was excellent. Thank you so much for bringing that to my attention.
That's quite alright.
I promise I will not get obsessed with rafts.
Just with personality tests.
Yeah, that's my raft.
That's your raft. Keeping you sane.
My personality raft.
Keeping your head bobbing above the water.
Yeah.
And I'm going to follow up that beautiful tale.
Yeah.
Of relationship woe with a story of bravery.
Story of bravery, okay. Does it involve a bravery on a raft? Is this a raft themed episode?
It's at sea.
I'll call it the raft episode.
A raft of stories. On 23rd of February 1942, a badly damaged RAF bomber ditched into the North Sea. Ditch means crash.
Okay.
But pilots have to give it a special name.
Wankers.
The crew were returning from a mission over Norway, but their Beaufort bomber had been hit by enemy fire and crashed into the sea more than 100 miles from home. Struggling in the freezing Norwegian water, unable to radio an accurate position back to base, the four men faced a cold and lonely death. But as the aircraft...
How many men were there?
Four men.
Sorry.
Facing a cold and lonely death.
Sorry.
I just said it.
Sorry.
But as the aircraft went down, the crew had managed to salvage their secret weapon, a single carrier pigeon.
Yes, Pidgey.
The blue checkered hen bird, called Winky.
Winky!
Was set free in the hope it would fly home to Dundee in Scotland, and so alert airbase colleagues to their predicament.
Oh my god, I just love that.
Norway to Dundee is a real long way. You seem to not think it's a long way.
It's not a long way.
You complain about walking to the post office in town.
They're like level, Scotland and Norway.
Yeah, it's still... Yeah, but we're like level with Moscow. Still far away.
That is true.
I'm
just thinking about that when we went to Scotland and it didn't really get dark. because it's the same level as like Helsinki where we were.
Yeah.
And it's like the same Norway and yes. Scotland, right?
But we couldn't see them from Scotland.
Okay, geography is not my strong point, but it's closer than like Africa.
Against all the odds, Winky did make it home.
Fucking Winky, you did it,
beautiful
mate.
Bitch.
Beautiful, beautiful bitch.
After flying 120 miles.
Sorry, schooling a bitch and a beautiful bitch. Winky, beautiful bitch.
That's what it says on Winky's grave.
I'm literally crying. Okay, sorry. Sorry.
The beautiful bitch did make it home after flying 120 miles and was discovered exhausted and covered in oil by owner George Ross, who immediately informed the RAF.
Oh my god, imagine how excited you'd be. You'd be like, really? RAF, is that you? And it's like, poo, coo.
RAF, yes, I've got a distressed pigeon.
And the pigeon's like, coo, and they're like,
why did the RAF not be like, fuck off, mate?
Fuck off.
Like, why are you ringing me to tell me this?
Oh, Dave's ringing up about his fucking pigeon again. Oh,
George Ross is on line one. The pigeon was not carrying a message. So again, how did they...
It was covered in oil, though, which is a bit odd.
That is weird. But the RAF were
able... And surely he knew he was on the plane.
I mean, maybe. They must have done. Otherwise, how would they have put this all together?
I know. Yeah, they must have given him the pigeon, yeah. Like, before they got on the plane. No?
You're right, yeah. The pigeon, the pigeon wasn't just on holiday.
They're about to get on the plane. It's like, oh, a pigeon.
Winky left his sunglasses on the plane. But the RAF were able to calculate the position of the downed aircraft using the time difference between the plane's ditching and the arrival of the bird, taking into account the wind direction and the impact of the oil on Winky's feathers.
What? Science.
Yeah, they knew their geography.
A rescue
mission was launched and the men were found within 15 minutes. That's impressive.
15 minutes?
Yeah.
What year was this again?
1942, I think.
Wow, that is... God,
that's pretty good going.
Give Winky a pat on the wing.
On his oily little wing. I mean, that's impressive because I think, like... I mean, I still struggle to find our local supermarket on Google Maps sometimes. And I've been to it millions of times. But, you know, I just like to check I'm getting the best route. Elaine Pendlebury from the PDSA, don't know what that means, said the carrier pigeon had been released as a last-ditch attempt... When the crew realised they had no other options. I find it very moving, really. These people would have died without this pigeon coming through, said Miss Pendlebury. Ms. Pendlebury, apologies.
That's divorced. A good name. All widowed.
Winky became the toast of the airbase with a dinner held in her honour.
Oh.
Apparently they all toasted her and she was...
To Winky!
She was in a cage in the middle of the table.
That's cruel.
I mean, she would have flown
she
up,
She should
way.
Have been allowed to fly free in the airbase.
A year she'd later...
wherever she pleased.
Yeah. She should be allowed a golden aeroplane.
Yeah.
A year later, she became the first animal to receive the Dickin Medal for delivering... Sorry, my phone has broken. for delivering a message under exceptional difficulties. More than 60 animals have since received the award, including 18 dogs, 3 horses and a cat. But pigeons still rule the medal roost, with 32 being given medals, all between 1943 and 1949.
God bless the pigeon.
So, that's the tale of Winky.
I loved it.
But it doesn't finish there, does it Finn?
End.
No, of course not. But it's in a different article, so I'm just scrolling to it.
I have very strong feelings towards Winky, mainly because of its name. I love the name Winky so much. Do you regret not calling Tova Winky?
No, because I would be arrested for paedophilia as I shouted Winky by the playground in the local park.
Little like, Winky!
Who's seen my Winky? Yeah, exactly. It's not good. Winky, when she died,
aww,
was stuffed and now is in the Smithsonian Museum.
Shut up.
Where she belongs.
Oh my god, can we go visit her?
Yes.
Where is the Smithsonian?
It's in America.
In New York?
I don't know. Well, she was donated to the Dundee Art Gallery first and then moved to the Smithsonian.
I'd rather go to the Smithsonian than Dundee, no offence, guys.
Yeah, also, she's not in Dundee anymore. So unless you go and see the empty space where Winky once was, we could put Tober in there.
Winky number two.
No, it's Tober.
Yeah.
Number two Winky.
Have we explained this? That I wanted to call Tover Winky, and Ollie wouldn't let me because he didn't want to shout
Winky.
Have you seen my little Winky in the park? So I called her Tover, and now I just call her Winky as her nickname anyway. So
obviously, it's good for a dog to have a nickname because it means they're really confused about what their real name is at all times. So in 2016. The progressive rock band Big Big Train, you all know them.
Released, do we?
Of course.
Does anyone know them? I've never heard of them.
Released their album Folklore, including the seventh track on the album, Winky.
I really want to know, is there a track list?
What, for the whole album?
Yeah.
Probably.
Folklore, it sounds great. If they got a song each about different weird folklores, because I really want to research them.
I mean, it's the most prog. They say the titles of the tracks are so prog rock, they're amazing.
Okay.
So I'm just going to read out the titles: Folklore, London Plain, Along the Ridgeway, Salisbury Giant, The Transit of Venus Across the Sun.
Wow.
Wassail, ooh. Winky, Brooklands, Tell the Bees. Bangers.
Okay.
All great hits.
Are you going to play a bit of?
I'm not going to. I think you can just add a link to the song. But I just want to read a few of the lyrics.
Okay.
Which...
Can you not sing them?
No, because there is no tune to this song. But normally when people write like a song about a famous thing that happened or person, they're quite like abstract about it, or they sort of like will reference them and will use like metaphors. Not these guys.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most accurate song lyrics. Just directly describing exactly what happened.
Please can you sing it to the tune of Hit Me Baby One More Time by Britney Spears?
No, that's impossible.
Oh.
So, this is the first chorus.
Do you want me to do it?
I mean, you're never going to be able to do that.
So the World War One is won, the NBS days are done.
Oh, God.
Okay, carry on. You can just read
it. The MOD says the radio is the way. Pigeons have had their day, but Major Osman believes radio is still in its infancy. He can still see the need to get the NPS back on its feet. February 23rd, 1942. A Beaufort bomber returning home with a 4-man crew. Major Osman believes radio is still in its infancy. So bomber command issue this rule which states that two pigeons accompany each crew if the radio can't be used because pen pushers need their proof. And it goes on in that vein for...
What's the last line?
9 minutes. Well, I mean, obviously the last line is Winky.
You flew straight.
You flew safely home, Winky. Hey, the inaugural recipient, you flew straight, flew true.
Winky!
I don't
like how Winky is spelt with an I-E. It must be a Y.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that rule.
It's my own rule that I've made up. I don't like I-E. Winky must be with a Y. I dislike it intensely with an I-E. Don't know why. It's just my rule that I've made
up. Prog rock's just funny anyway.
I don't really know what... Is there a famous prog rock bands that you can give me an example of that I can sort of like put a... Is it like the progs?
No, I don't think so.
What about Prefab Sprout?
So prog rock bands are Pink Floyd, King Crimson, Genesis.
Genesis?
Yes. I think Yes and Rush are always the ones that people...
Oh, really? Sort of like quite like techno-y rock, is that it?
I think it's just kind of like nerdy rock, so it's like all a little bit like fantasy and then like really intricate guitar and all about like space and Lord of the Rings and shit like that.
Okay.
It's good. I mean, it's not good, but it's quite funny.
Okay. Well, that was great. I laughed so hard I cried, so that's a good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, really enjoyed that.
Good. I like the story. It was really funny because we were reading through this list at work of all the animals that have won medals for bravery.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones in like the 1940s all had names like Winky and like Peter and Scoundrel and things like that. And then the ones these days are called like Max Steel and Predator and Diesel. And you're like, obviously, like, people in the military now are very different to people in the military in the 1940s. And it's all like mad Alsatians that we're now, obviously.
I was going to do... Should we do a recommendations section?
Please.
Because we've watched quite a lot of stuff this week, which is quite unusual for us. I thought I'd start with... I've listened to a podcast that was recommended to me by a friend of mine called Root of Evil. And it's the true story of the Black Dahlia case and the person that they suspect murdered her.
Mm.
And it's quite a short series. I think it's like 8 episodes. And I think it was quite big, which was kind of surprising that I'd never heard of it. Because I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I'd say I'm a pretty
big on the podcast scene.
I am. Like, I feel like...
an aficionado.
I listen to a lot of podcasts and I've not come across this one. And it was really great, very interesting. I gasped out loud in quite a lot of
That's good.
Places. It's quite in-depth. It's basically... So, it's exploring the Holden family, and it's the... granddaughters of this guy George Holden, Holder, I think it is, who they suspect killed the Black Dahlia, who was, she was called Elizabeth Short, and she was found in 1947, murdered in Hollywood, in LA.
America, quite far away.
With the Hollywood sign in the background, and it was a exceptionally brutal murder. So it was a sensation at the time. It's all over the papers and they never caught who did it. And it's basically this family suspect their grandfather did it. And it's them exploring the idea that he did and why they think he did it. And the kind of family fallout and how the root of evil, his horrible, awful personality sort of affected their whole family.
Mm.
So it's interviews with... and like their uncles.
How long ago did he die?
He died. He was really old when he died. He was 92.
So he died quite recently.
Quite recently. I can't.
Do you think he died after that film, the Black Dahlia film, came out?
I think he did. Yeah, he committed suicide, which is interesting as well.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
But then, if you're really old, you might commit suicide for different reasons.
I don't. Yeah, I think he was.
Complications in your
But it's
better out than in.
It was so interesting, and just like the theories kind of like did you know that Man Ray was kind of suspected of the murder as well, the surrealist photographer? Mm-hmm.
Why was he suspected?
Well, you have to listen to the podcast to find out.
I will.
It's so interesting, and it just kind of like...
Oh, you had me hooked instantly.
Yeah, it's so good. I don't want to go too much into it.
No,
so
don't.
I want you to listen to it, and I want everyone to go and listen to it. It's really interesting. Yeah, it just made me really want to look into Man Ray now.
Yeah.
Because he was like best friends with this guy, George Holder,
mm-hmm.
who they suspect killed the Black Dahlia. Anyway, so yeah, that was one of my recommendations. And
I'm definitely going to listen to that.
It's really good. The second one was one we watched last night, a documentary called Tell Me Who I Am, which is new to Netflix, which was all I've done this week. So that Root of Evil, spoiler, a little bit of a spoiler, does involve some incest.
Yeah.
To do with mothers.
You're going to spoil this program you're talking about, Finlay.
Well, no, I'm not, because it's, well, just like, yeah, there's a lot of incest in... everything that I've listened to and watched this week. So Tell Me Who I Am. Well, I was going to say that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's too much of a spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a documentary about these two boys.
Two beautiful little twins.
Two twins. And one of them is in a motorbike accident and is in a coma for 3 months. And when he wakes up, he can't remember anyone who...
Can't remember anyone or anything except his twin brother.
Except for his twin brother. He has no memory. He doesn't even know who he is.
Doesn't know how to ride a bike.
No,
didn't
nothing.
Know what a kitchen was.
So he relies on his twin brother to sort of fill in the gaps for him. And it's like, yeah, basically exploring their relationship and what happened. And as he slowly starts to realise that the perfect family that his brother has sort of painted for him in his memories is not...
Sort of doesn't at all add up.
Doesn't add up. And he starts asking questions and it quickly sort of unravels.
Yeah, so he's... sort of thinks they've got this idyllic life because they live in this super big posh house and stuff.
Which me and Ollie suspect is round East Sussex way, because in one of the clips there was definitely rye.
Yeah.
So we suspect they're from round here.
And then, yeah, the dad dies pretty early on. And then that's like one of the first times that he's suspicious because he's really sad. His brother, who has the memory, isn't sad
at
all.
Well, I read an article today that said that that's not his, it was a stepdad. That their dad, their real dad, died in a car accident when they were very young.
Well, that's even weirder.
Yeah.
I thought maybe their real dad died in the Norwegian Sea in 1942.
Winky didn't save
him. Winky didn't save him because he knew he was up to no good. yeah, that's on Netflix. That's definitely worth watching.
Oh my god, it was so... I was like crying my eyes
out. It's not a lol fest.
It's not a lol fest, but it's just... just incredible story. Just... I think we said last night, if you went to a, like... I don't know, film crew, and like, if you tried to pitch it as a film and you were like, this is what happens, you'd just be like, that's not believable.
That's the best documentaries.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
Because you can make a documentary where, because it's real and you can prove it's real, it can be things that are more mad than anything that you could write. Because if you wrote this as a film, people would be like, nah, it's too unlikely.
Too unlikely, yeah. No, it's just, and I just thought, it was just so emotional, and just like, I feel so proud of both of them for being so like vulnerable and open on camera. It's just amazing, like very
good.
Yeah, it's just very good. I mean, I feel like I could make a...
You could do a whole documentary about it.
Yeah, it's so good.
A whole podcast about it, even.
I loved it.
Don't make a documentary about a documentary.
Yeah, so watch that. And then another Netflix recommendation was Living With Yourself.
Yes.
That we binge watched it. We were obsessed with it.
A lot of people watching it on the train at the moment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So good. I loved it so much. With Paul Rudd and...
Aisling B,
who I kept saying to Ollie the whole way through, I'm so proud of her. That, like, every time she got to kiss Paul Rudd or hug him, I was just like, yes, girl! And I just wanted to tweet her, like, I'm so proud of you that you're doing so well and you're in this Netflix thing with Paul bloody Rudd and you're snogging him, and just feel so proud of her because she's just so lovely and amazing. I love her, isn't she? She's so funny. She was just... Well, I say just a comedian, but she was a comedian.
Just a humble comedian. Look at her now.
Well, I feel like we've liked her for quite a long time. And, like, to see how successful she is now, I just feel like just cheering her on. I just love her, and I'm so happy that she's doing so well. Anyway, yeah, so...
It's Paul Rudd. He plays himself and...
Himself.
And a copy of himself.
Yeah, he's... It's a thing.
It's like a clone, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a thing. It's the thing about clones. It's very good.
But it's very funny.
Very funny.
And quite like tense.
So addictive. I think the episodes are not very long. They're about what, half an hour?
Yeah, like 30 minutes.
So you can like just...
Just take 6 hours out of your day. Yeah. Don't go to work. Just watch it.
Yeah.
Top tip.
Yeah, so...
That's it. Watch... So if you don't have Netflix, you're fucked.
You're fucked, yeah. But listen to Root of Evil because...
That's free.
Yeah.
As long as you have an iPhone or something to download.
I don't know when it came out. Like, I think it was a couple of years ago, but yeah, it was just really good. Oh, yeah. Did I tell you that? So, I told you about that, didn't I? That, like, one of the people on the podcast, their actual name on their birth certificate is Joy to All... No. Joy to the World...
And
goodwill to all men. That is his name on his birth certificate.
We thought Finley was weird.
I thought Jose was weird.
That is weird.
My nanny's real name is, on her birth certificate, is Jose, because her name is Josie, but her dad didn't know how to spell Josie, apparently, so wrote it Jose with an actual apostrophe.
I bet that happens a lot now, because there's a lot of kids with some real weird names.
Yeah, it's true.
Isn't Jason Lee's son called Pilot Inspector?
That's pretty cool.
With a K instead of a C in Inspector.
Okay, no, that's weird.
Oh, well, that's too far.
I kind of like Pilot. I think that's quite a cool name.
Mm. I hate Pilot. No, I'm joking. I'm only joking.
We've got a hatred of Pilot. Anyway.
That's the end.
That's the end.
That's everything.
Wrapping up. Thanks for listening for another... The 30th week. What the fuck? Can't believe I've... Actually, I can believe that I've done it for this long.
Cause yeah, it feels like way longer.
I don't fucking quit things when I start them.
No.
If you have anything you want to talk to us about, then email thecutelifepodcast@gmail.com or... DM me or Ollie on Instagram at Finny Elliott Portraits or at Ollie Place. Rate on iTunes, and if you leave us a nice review, we'll read it out on the podcast and give you a little shout out. Or if you share on Instagram, which is always very helpful, I'll give you a little shout out too, or share your page or whatever.
Yeah.
Next
week.
Sharing is caring, after all.
Next week is... gonna be the spooky Halloween one.
Oh yeah, and will it be my birthday one? Maybe, might be.
Okay, well.
Oh, we'll be. Yeah. Oh my god, I'm so excited for next week. So we'll be here with spooky stories.
Yes.
I'll have a spooky cute story.
Yeah.
Which is gonna be hard to find, but I'm gonna do it. I'll do it.
A Dachshund with a pumpkin on its head.
I'll do it. I'll find something good. I'm gonna spend the whole week finding something worth talking about. Yeah, so tune in for spookiness next week, and I'll probably be having a breakdown about turning 30.
Yes, which is spooky in itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, ooh, mental breakdown.
Getting older.
Ooh, wrinkles.
Okay, goodbye from me.
A young 29-year-old Finley.
Yeah, young whippersnapper.
And me, a wise, ripe old fruit.
Wise, ripe old fruit. And from Winky 1.
Winky,
aka Tova,
Winky Jr.
And Winky 2. Oh, wait, I suppose Winky 1947 Winky is Winky Jr. No, Senior.
Senior.
So this is Winky Jr.
And RIP Winky Senior.
Oh, Godspeed, you little bitch. What did I call it? Sexy bitch.
No. Bye, Winky, sexy bitch.
Sexy bitch. Bye.